Good morning. Good Rosh Chodesh. So we're going to talk about the Haggadah. If not now, when? We do have class next Tuesday for all of you hearty souls, but there is something specific that I want to deal with in the Haggadah, but before I do that, I just want to talk about the Haggadah. The sheet that you have in front of you is the specific point in the Haggadah. But in general, there are many things that we have to know. And the night of Pesach is a night during which we fulfill a number of mitzvahs. And I think it's very important. I think we say it to ourselves year after year. I don't know if we succeed. But it would be a great thing to be able to come to the Seder not being totally exhausted. And that's why I am in favor of hotels or going to children. We had all of our years during which we worked ourselves to the bone, and even then you have to find a way that by Erev Pesach there should be at least an hour to take a rest so that you come to the Seder and be fully aware of what's happening and be prepared to fulfill those mitzvahs. For one night there are a good number of mitzvahs to fulfill, and of course the top of the list, there's no top of the list. They're all mitzvahs and every one of them has to be fulfilled. There is, of course, the mitzvah. I'll read it. I have the Rambam in front of me. Mitzvah Asei Shel Torah, it is a positive commandment of the Torah, L'staper v'nisim v'niflaot, to relate, to tell the story of the miracles and the wonders shenasu l'avoteinu b'mitzchayim that were done for our fathers in Egypt on the night of the 15th of Nisan. The mitzvah is that night we have to tell the story. Shenema, as it says, Zachor et hayom hazeh sheyitzata l'mitzchayim, remember this day on which you went out of Egypt. And how do we know that it should be on the night of the 15th? Because it says, V'gadato l'vincha, Torah says, you shall tell your child, your son, b'yom ha'o, that day. You should tell your son on that day, b'apur zeh, because of all of this, God took me out of Egypt. And Rashi brings it on the spot, it's on the Gemara. B'avur zeh b'shosh yesh matzah u'morah u'nachah u'fanach, when you have matzah and morah in your presence. So there's the mitzvah of sipur yitziyat Mitzrayim, distinct from the mitzvah of zechirat yitziyat Mitzrayim, remembering the exodus from Egypt. Remembering the exodus from Egypt is a mitzvah every day during the course of the year. It's not a mitzvah that is limited to the night of Pesach. But on the night of Pesach, you have to tell the story. It's not something that can be fulfilled merely by mentioning. You have to tell the story. And that is, of course, the Haggadah. There's also going to be the mitzvah of eating matzah. That's a mitzvah haseh min haTorah, is a positive commandment of the Torah. There's the mitzvah of eating morah. Now, at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, when there was also a Korban Pesach, the Pesach sacrifice, then morah was min haTorah, it was biblical. Today, our eating of morah is mid haHabonah. Now, of course, if we're talking about the time of the Beit HaMikdash, Chednish, then you had, of course, the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach, the Korban Chagiga. There were all sorts of sacrifices with a tremendous number of halachos. And in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, there are a number of subcategories. And one of them is mitzvah lehodiyah lebanim. You have to tell your children the story. And you have to tell it to them, the Rambam says, afilu lo sha'alu, even if they did not ask. But the Haggadah was written in the form of question and answer. And the reason why it was done that way, because in Torah it says, v'hoyo ki yish'olcha binchon, it will come to pass when your son is going to ask you. So it seems that there's an importance to asking questions. And the importance of asking questions is because when one asks a question, whole head, mind, heart is focused on the answer. And therefore, we set up the Seder in such a way that even young children should be aroused to ask questions. We do things that are different on the night of Pesach than we would do any other time of the year. I still don't know if good Yiddish mamas today can do it. They're not supposed to give candy to the children, all sorts of chazarai, and then most probably, you know, they no, we can't. We're worried about the dentist, and we're worried about the calories, and we're worried about obesity, and we're worried about all sorts of things. But the fact is that you're supposed to do things that will keep the children awake. No, there's the second part of life where we have to worry about keeping ourselves awake and service. The young and the old. But no, we're not old, we're young. We've got a lot of living to do over here in Birkat Hashem. Okay, so what's fascinating about the Haggadah, and this is also maybe for the young, but I've always felt that the finest text to teach how to educate children is right here in the Haggadah. And there are so many great aspects of good chinuch in the Haggadah. I think the most important one of them all is, of course, I'm not asking the child to do anything that I'm not doing. I'm going to eat matzah, you eat matzah. I'm going to eat maror, you eat maror. I'm going to say the Haggadah, you say the Haggadah. Because in the final analysis, the greatest form of education is education by example. Not the kind of education, do as I say and not as I do. Do as I say and as I do. It's father and children, parents and children are performing the mitzvahs together. There's also a tremendous amount of visual aids. The dazzling, beautiful Seder table is in and of itself a major factor. Children and adults don't forget what a Seder table looked by parents or in our own home. That's the visual aid to it. And of course the fact that the mitzvah of telling your children, the mitzvah, it is not the same for all. Individual differences are taken into consideration. Keneged arbor bonim dibra Torah. The Torah spoke about four different kinds of children, and each one needs his own individual answer. You can't educate every child or all children in precisely the same way. There have to be allowances for the differences in children. And if you don't make allowances for those differences, you can have a great deal of difficulty in raising a family. So there are the questions, there's the status table, they're taking into consideration the individual differences, and maybe more important than anything else is and I think I say this every year, and if I don't say it every year, I say it at least every second year. One has to make the Seder relevant. We gave two shiurim before Purim. about the idea that Purim is not something that really happened by Yomim Ha'ein. It's not something of the past. It's not simply recalling something that took place many, many years ago. The story of Purim as the Seder and the Haggadah is relevant. It's today. And anybody who doesn't experience and feel that during the course of the Seder has missed it all. And it's all summed up in those two powerful paragraphs in the Haggadah. V'hisha onda labuseinu v'lanu. That Torah and our tradition stood us in good stead throughout history. B'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu, in every generation they rise up against us to destroy it. It has never been truer than it is today. B'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu, v'hakadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyodom, and the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hand. That paragraph is so true. It's reality. It's not some kind of a fantasy. That's real life. The people who don't believe that, those who believe that, you know, love and goodness and giving up more and more territory is going to gain us friends in this world, are the messianic ones who live not in the world of reality. If you inhabit the world of reality, you have to know that Omdim Aleinu L'chaloteinu. They want to destroy us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matzileinu Yodam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one, God is the one who saves us, rescues us from their hand. And then, of course, at the end of the story of the end of Sikui Yetzias Mitzrayim, there we say, B'chol Dor V'Dor, again, in each and every generation, Chayev Adam Lidot Tatatzmo, a person has to see himself, Ki Luhu Yotza Mitzrayim, as though he went out of Egypt. We have to re-experience it as though it's us. But it's more than that. It's not as though it's us. At the beginning of the Haggadah, we say that if God would not have taken our forefathers out of Egypt, had they honored Vanenu, we would all have remained enslaved and indebted to Egypt throughout history. It means that, in fact, each and every generation of Jews are the beneficiaries of that Yetziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, and we thank God. We were there as part of that great entity called the Jewish people, and we were taken out of Egypt together with them. So therefore every generation has to see itself as though Ki'iluhu Yatsam Mitzchayim. I remember one of the first ideas that occurred to me about the Haggadah, and this is taking us back, I think, 55 years. B'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, Chayiv Adam Lidot Et Atzmo, a person is supposed to see himself, Ki Ilu Hu Yotza Mimitzrayim, as though he went out of Egypt. Wait a minute. That's not what we say at the beginning of the Haggadah. At the beginning of the Haggadah, we say, Avod Mayinu L'Farah Mimitzrayim, we were enslaved to power in Egypt. V'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if God would not have taken us out, we would have remained enslaved. And now, at the end of the story, we say that in every generation, a person has to see himself Ki'ilu Hu Yotzom Mitzrayim, as though he went out of Egypt. What are you talking about? You went out of Egypt? You were taken out of Egypt. You were taken out of Egypt. So I said the following. The Baal HaHaggadah would never, ever have told us to relive the experience of the slavery of Egypt. That we should relive it, that yes, If they're going to enslave us, I'm going to be enslaved. I'm going to go out every day and work. I'm going to wait patiently for God to take us out. That's not, we're not supposed to relive it the way it happened, because if we relive it the way it happened, then we haven't learned a thing from 3,500 years of freedom. Everybody has had these thoughts, God. If we would have been there, you understand? If we would have been there, and I'm talking about Europe, we would have fought. We would have killed as many Germans as we could. We wouldn't have let ourselves be taken. Can anybody relive that experience as though they'll come to me? I'm going to go to the Umschlagplatz. I'm going to get onto the train. No. We always relive it. How many times over the years I've imagined Israeli planes coming down over Auschwitz and smashing the crematoria. It just didn't happen. What the Baal HaGod is saying is the following. The Chol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, Chayiv Odam Lida, that that's how each person is supposed to see himself. If he would have been there, Yotzom Yimitzchayim, he would have gone out of Egypt, he wouldn't have waited for a minute. He would have done everything in his power not to let that happen. That's exactly, what the Baal HaGod is telling us over here is that we have to learn from the experience of Mitzrayim, never again. We're never going to permit that again. Unfortunately, through history, we made the mistake a number of times. We have to make sure not to make the same mistake in our generation. The Chol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, a person has to see himself, ki'iluhu, if he would have been there, yotzo mimitzrayim, he would have run from Egypt. He would never let it happen. Can't we never relive the unhappy episodes in our lives exactly the way they happened. You get into an altercation with somebody. So usually, when do you think of the best reply? An hour after it's all over. Okay? You never get. There are only rare moments in life at which you know the right thing to say at the right time, and you walk away feeling, boy, I handled that well. That doesn't happen too often. Doesn't happen too often. That's right. So don't feel bad. If you've had such experience, don't feel bad. We've all had that experience. By the way, I have the same experience every time I speak. Every time I speak. No, without fail. 50 years already. 10 minutes after I finished speaking, I said, oh, I should have said this. I should have said that. Oh, you, I would have said that. But that's the way it is. You get used to it, and it never changes. You just have to get used to it and keep going for another 50, 60 years. And then it's just not the same. The Chol Dor V'Dor, every generation, a person has to see himself as though he would have gone out of Egypt. Would have gone out of Egypt. I've also said on that, the Chol Dor V'Dor, Chayiv Adam Liris as Atzmo. Atzmo, that's a fascinating word, Atzmo. Atzmo has another meaning. Another meaning. The other meaning of the word Atzmo is God Almighty, the Holy One, blessed be He. And you know where He gets the name Atzmo? There's a Gemara in the Sefer Gittin where the Gemara says when Titus destroyed Bet HaMikdash, and he came into the Holy of Holies, and he ran his sword through the parochet that covered the Holy of Holies. And you know what happened? The parochet started bleeding. Gemara says the parochet started bleeding. And the Gemara says, Choshav, he thought, Atzmo hu harag. He killed God himself. By the way, when the Gemara uses it, the Gemara uses it, of course, as a euphemism. You don't say he killed God. Titus killed himself. The word atzmo is used in place of saying he killed God. But that the term atzmo appears another few times during the course of the Haggadah. Ah, Rosho Mahu Omer. What does the Rosho say? What's all this Seder and all these mitzvahs that you have to fulfill? So, Maha Avodah Zos Lachem. So the Baal HaGadol says, Lefi Shehotzias Atmo Min HaKlal Kofar D'Ikar. It means two things. Because he has removed himself from the whole Mitzrayim experience. Because what did he say? What does this all mean to you? In other words, there's the Rosha and there's the rest of Klal Yisrael. But it also means more than that. Hotzi et Atzmo, he has removed God from the picture. He's removed God from the picture. And there's a famous Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon and Haggadah says the following. Lo yedei malach. For Varti, God says, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. And I'm going to strike the firstborn of Egypt. Lo yedei malach. Lo yedei sarach. Lo yedei shaliach. Neither angels nor any other kind of messenger. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. Bichvodo uba'atzmo. God himself, atzmo again used to describe God. So what I once did with that was the following. We're talking about the last paragraph of the story of Sipu Yitzchus Mishayim. Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation, Chayiv Adam Lido says, atzmo, you have to look at God, Kiilu, who Yosef Yitzchayim. Not only I went out of Egypt, he went out of Egypt. That was the promise that he made to Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu was on the way down to Egypt, he says to him, Al tiro mi ledom Yitzchayim, don't be afraid of going to down to Egypt. Anochi eved imecha, I'm going to go down with you. Anochi el chol gamolo, and I'm going to go up with you out of Egypt. Chayiv Adam, the whole door of the door in every generation, Chayiv Adam, the leader says, Atzmo, to see him, the great capital H I M, him, Ki'ilu, who, he also went out of Egypt together with us. Now, I would say that there are, I want to divide the Haggadah into three sections. From the Manishtana, or from Halach Ma'anya, from the Manishtana until Sei Ulamad Ma Bikesh Lavan Paravi. Sei Ulamad. Someplace in the middle of the Haggadah, we come to a point at which we said, go out and learn what did Lavan the Aramean wanted to, what did he want to do to your father Yaakov? That he wanted to destroy Yaakov and his whole family. He wanted to make sure that they were going to assimilate into the Aramean culture and be lost forever. And he was worse than Paro. Paro lo gozar elal azachodim. Paro only decreed against the males, but Lavan bikesh lakor esakol. From that point on and further begins the story. The story of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim begins from Tzei Ulamad until the end of the paragraph of the whole Dor Vador. Now, you'll start getting the picture a little better. The first third of the Haggadah, and then the last third. The last third, after we've said the whole Dor Vador, Chayav Adam, Liris Chatzmo, Kiyilu Hu Yotzim in the Tzchaim. I'll read in from my Haggadah here, and you'll hear exactly what's happening. The last, very, very last paragraph of the story that we are relating is the Chol Dor V'Dor. In every generation, a person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt, as it says, that he got a Tel Aviv, but you should tell your son on that day. So saying, Lo Asar Hussein Ubuzad, not our fathers alone did God redeem from Egypt, El Afu Tanu Gaal Iman. We also were redeemed with them, Shenema, as it says, Votanu Hotsi Mishon, and us he took out of there, Leman Havi Otanu, in order to bring us, Latet Lanu et Ha'aretz, Hashem Mishna, Lavutelu, that he swore to our fathers. Right after the paragraph of the Chol Dor V'Dor, we move into a completely different part of Haggadah. The part of Haggadah that's going to be Thanksgiving. Lefichach, therefore, anachnu chayavim, we are obligated, lahodos, lahalel, lishapeach, lefue, we have a responsibility to praise and exalt and thank and express gratitude, to raise, uplift, beautify God who did for us all of these miracles. Part three of the Haggadah is praise, thanksgiving. We start saying the Hallel, part of Hallel we say before the meal, the rest of Hallel we say after the meal. And then all of the songs that come afterwards, that's all part of the praise and thanksgiving. I call that the last third of the Haggadah. The first third of the Haggadah is setting up the mitzvah, preparing us for the fact that we have a mitzvah to fulfill. We were enslaved to Paro in Egypt, and God took us out with a strong hand, an outstretched arm, and would he not have taken us out, we would all have been enslaved to Paro in Egypt. Therefore, Afilu Kulanu Chachamim, even if we are all wise, Kulanu Nevonu, we all have great understanding. Kulanu the king, we're all elders. Kulanu yodim es haTorah, even if we all know the Torah. Mitzvah aleinu l'sata b'yitzias Mitzrayim, it's a mitzvah for us to relate the Exodus of Egypt. In that first paragraph of our Father Ma'inu, we are making the statement that there's a mitzvah that we have to fulfill, to prepare you, that if you didn't have a chance to rest on Erev Pesach, and you may lose track of what's going to happen, that first paragraph of Avodah Mayinu says you should know you are now getting ready to fulfill a mitzvah. Mitzvah aleinu l'satei b'yitzias b'tchaim, is a mitzvah to relate the story of Egypt, and not only that, it's the kind of mitzvah that the chol hamarbe l'satei b'yitzias b'tchaim. The more that one is going to relate about the story of Egypt, hadeza meshubach, is praiseworthy. The very next paragraph in the Haggadah tells us that you should know exactly what we said now was in fact how our rabbis conducted themselves. The story is told of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon that had their seder in Bnei Brak. There was a Canaan, they were Chachamim, they were Yodim es HaTorah, they had all of that, and despite that, they spent the whole night relating the story from Egypt until their students came to them and told them, Rabotenu, our rabbis, Higiyas Man Kriyat Shema Shel Sharkas, to time for Kriyashma. So what have we done over here? So far we have established the parameters of the mitzvah. Number one, it is a mitzvah, and the more you relate, the greater the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Proof, we have all of these great rabbis who did precisely that. And then the next, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I was 70 years old, and I was like 70 years old. And I did not get the rabbis to agree with me that there's a mitzvah not only during the day to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim, but also at night. No, we're establishing again the parameters of the mitzvah. Even though we are talking over here about the mitzvah, Zechidat Yitzias Mitzrayim, mentioning it, which is all year, but the mitzvah of relating flows from this mitzvah. Okay, now wait a minute. And then we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. In other words, once we've established that it's a mitzvah, and we've established that Kol HaMarbe L'Sapa, the more you say, the better. And we brought proof that there were great rabbis that did precisely that. The next step in this first third of the Haggadah is, how are you going to go about doing it? How are you supposed to do the mitzvah? Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, blessed is God, blessed is He. Baruch Shemasam Torah Liyam Hu Yisrael, blessed is the one who gave Torah to His people Israel. We are going to fulfill the mitzvah via the study of Torah. We're not just going to sit around and tell stories. Our story is going to be rooted in the text of Torah. That's how you're supposed to do it. And that's exactly what we're going to do in the Haggadah. And we will point that out soon. We're going to sit and learn a parasha in the Torah. That's what we do in the Haggadah. The parasha in the Torah that we learn is the parasha of Bikurim, of the first fruits, the first part of Parashat Ki Tavo. When you come to the land and you have first fruits, you're supposed to bring them to the Beit HaMikdash, and you are supposed to make a declaration before God. And what is this declaration that you make before God? You tell God a brief version of the power and the intensity of Jewish history, the fear, the trepidation, the great threat to the Jewish people. Arami Ovid Avi. Lavan wanted to destroy my father. My father went down to Egypt, and he dwelled there, and he was enslaved, and he was tortured. And he cried out to God, and God heard our cries, and he came down to Egypt to take us out. That's the declaration that a person who brings first fruits is supposed to say in the Beit HaMikdash. That declaration, there are six psukim, and we're going to learn them in the Haggadah. And by learning those, in the course of learning those six psukim, we are telling the story. Vayeled Yaakov Mitzrayim, or Yaakov went down to Egypt. He was forced to go down. And you took us out. We are learning the parasha of Torah. It's not simply a story that we say once upon a time. It is rooted in the study of Torah. And you know what kind of study of Torah? The text of Parshas Bikurim and the Torah Sheba'al Peh on it. What the oral, or what our rabbi said, how they interpreted those psukim. That's real study of Torah. So now, back to the first third of the of our Haggadah. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Since the means, the vehicle by which we are going to relate the story is going to be through Torah, you know what you're supposed to do before you learn Torah? You're supposed to say, Birkat HaTorah. That's why we say, Baruch Shenatan Torah la'amo Yisrael, blessed is God who gave Torah to His people. Baruch Hu. And then the next step in the Haggadah is to tell us, you're relating, you know that there's a mitzvah to relate the story, you know that you're supposed to add as much as you can to the story, you know now that the story is going to be told via the study of Torah, but wait a minute, now we have to talk about the audience. So the next thing the Haggadah says, "Kedeged arba bonin dibra Torah." The Torah, "Kedeged arba bonin dibra Torah." The Torah speaking to four different kind of people. You have to know who you're talking to, and the way in which you are going to tell the story. You tell it to the chacham in one way. You elaborate on the Torah aspects of it. The Rosh, you have to know how to. The Rosh, you have to know how to speak to a Rosh. It's a chokhmah. It's a And I think that the Baal HaGadah has it straight. He has it straight. In other words, there are certain kinds of Rishoyim or non-believers that you have to step easily with them. You know, we always had this, I'm going to bring him close to Yiddishkeit. He's going to be the next Baal Tshuva on my list. I'll put another notch in my belt, so I have to go easy with him. It'll be sweet and nice, yeah. A knit and beckle. And then there are Rishoyim, you understand, who have to be told straight. You would have been there, you would have been utterly destroyed in Egypt. You would never have made it out. Because there's something very ugly about the Hosha who comes to the Seder, and he obviously upsets the whole Seder. Everybody's sitting there in a festive mood, and everybody took a rest during the day, so they're all ears to what's going on. And he says, it's nothing! What's this all to you? Doesn't mean anything. That's ugly. And when a guy's ugly, you have to respond to him in kind. Another one of my sometimes I say nice things. Terribly often. In Parashat Bo it says the following. When your children will say to you the following, what is all this service for you? Who does that sound like? That's the Russia. That's the Russia. The idea of children speaking to their parents or parents speaking to the children appears three times in Parshat Bo and one in Parshat Ve'etchanan. The three that in Parshat Bo begin with the first one where he says, your sons are going to say to you, so you should tell him, God commanded us to do this, and we did it, and because of this we went out of Egypt. Implying, of course, would you have been there, Habibi, you would have been lost beneath the sands of time. And then it says, right after those few psukim, immediately it says, Vayishtachavu ha'am, the people bowed down, thanking God. And Rashi, unbelievable. Listen to the Rashi. Rashi says, Al Bistorat Hagu'ula, he had just told them that they're going to be redeemed. Al Bistorat Ha'aretz, they had also been told over there in that first communication that they're going to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. Listen to the end of Rashi. Al Bistorat Ha'banim, and the good news about their sons. What's Rashi talking about? Who was the son that they just heard about? This Rashi Melosha, who says, this is the good news. I can understand that they thank God because they've been told that they're going to be redeemed. We thank God because he told us we're going to have Eretz Yisrael. But at that point, Rashi says, Al Bistorat Habanim, and you know what Rashi says? Listen to this, this is a great Rashi. Al Bistorat Habanim, on the news, the good news of the children, Asher Yiyu Lahem, that shall be to them. The children that shall be to them. Who needs this Asher Yiyu Lahem? If you say Al Bistorat Habanim, I mean, that's it. The children. Why is it you, Lahem? I said this a few months ago at a pinyon I've been for one of our grandchildren. And the coin was of Aviner, of Shlomo Aviner, the Rashiv of Ateret Kohanim. He went crazy. I'll tell you what the pshat is. I'll tell you what the pshat is. The Rebbein Shom has an awesome sense of humor. He's great. he's great. Sometimes it takes a few generations until you see the humor. I think in our time, we see the humor much quickly because everything is, the world is moving in fast forward. That's it. Things that would have taken place over a period of hundreds of years ago take place over here over a matter of a few months. And I think everything is speeding up. It's speeding up. It says like this. This Vasha comes in and he aggravates his parents. Comes to the Seder. What's all this? Torah and mitzvahs and matzah and moral. And that about the matzah, that about a mother. Yeah. He makes a joke of the whole thing. And parents, mother, parents, what can they do? So they suffer. They grin a bit. There's only one entity in the world that's smiling. The entity in the world that's smiling is the Rebbein Shalala. Habibi Rasha, oh, I know what to. I know how to punish you. You know how he punishes him? Guy grows up, gets married, has a whole bunch of children. He's a Machalos Shabbos, he's a Kaifer Beker, he's an Eiffel Kaifer. And then very Tisha B'Av, one of the kids walks into the house. And he's got a black hat on. Got a girdle, you understand? And he says, Abba, you know, I became a breast lover. Okay? Little while later, another one of his sons comes walking into the house. You understand? With, you know, we want Mashiach now. I became a Lubavitcher. God Almighty. That's the classic story about the Reform rabbi whose two children became Bali Tshuva. He says to his wife, we better check the mezuzahs fast. Right? And so what happens? I see it. The kids move to Eretz Yisrael. They have grandchildren. That Rosh Tata, of course, wants to see his grandchildren. So he comes to Hanover for Pesach. First of all, he comes to Hanover for Pesach. So he has a white kippah perched on his head. He comes to the Seder. And I think the best way to say it is in Yiddish. He sits by the Seder as it's angeleicht. He's there very dutiful and, you know, Kazayas Matzah, 5 matzahs in 4 minutes. And this Rosh, you understand, is going to sit there and he's going to eat the matzah and he's going to eat the mora and he's going to drink the 4 cups because he wants to have that relationship with his children, his grandchildren. And the Rebbeinu Shem is sitting up there and laughing his head off. You understand? You aggravated your parents years ago. That's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying they bow down al besorat ha-gula. They're told that they're going to be redeemed. Al besorat ha-banim, al besorat ha-aretz, al besorat ha-banim she-yiyu lahem. The children that this Rosh who just said, Moha avoda azos lachem, his einish is going to come through the children that will be to them. That's what Rashi says. They tell me that that Rav Aviner came the next day to Yeshiva. He called in all the Chabayim and he told them over this verse. They should know that that's the pshat in Rashi. Al habanim sheyu lahem. God has the last laugh. But you know who's really going to have the last laugh? This Rosh couldn't have gotten a better einish. Because the day is going to come there where he's going to say, well, I have 3 children living in Eretz Yisrael. One is a breast lover. One is a lubavitcher. And well, I didn't have success with the third. He's a settler someplace on one of the hills in the Shomron. Okay? Our bunny to New Lahan. So here we when this is all over, I'll take back all of the source sheets. We're not going to do that today. It'll stay for a week. No, I'm dividing the Haggadah into three parts. We're now in the middle of the first part. The first part is setting the stage for the mitzvah that is going to be fulfilled. Even if we are all Zakenim and Chachomim and Nevonim. And then we have told the story of Rabbi Akiva and his Chaverim in Bnei Brak. And then we are told that, well, there are the way in which it has to be done, the means for Sifuyutzi Yisrael is through the study of Torah, Baruch, and also totally Am Yisrael. And then we are told that when you teach, you have to teach according to the individual needs of the child. You can't teach everybody in precisely the same way. Now, what comes after that? In this, it's so beautiful. This Haggadah is brilliant. What comes after the four sons? Yochol Meirosh Chodesh. I would have thought that now we know that you have to fulfill the mitzvah. We know how you're supposed to fulfill the mitzvah. When? What's the time? So the Haggadah says, I would think that maybe you should start today. Rosh Chodesh Nissan. This is the month of redemption. It was on Rosh Chodesh Nissan that God spoke to Moshe and commanded him the laws of Pesach. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. This month is the first of months. Rishon Hu Lochem Chodesh Hashana. Right? So who would have thought you should do the mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh? Talmud Loma, the Pasuk says, by Yom Ha'u, on that day. By Yom Ha'u, if I would only have the words by Yom Ha'u on that day, I would have thought, Mibo Yom, Erev Pesach, the 14th of the month. Talmud Loma, the Pasuk says, Bavur Zeh, because of this. What does Bavur Zeh mean? Lo amarti el b'shoshesh matzah u'morah u'nochum fenecha. Only when you have the matzah and morah in your presence. You know what we've now established in this little paragraph? We've established the time when you're supposed to fulfill this mitzvah that we've been talking about. And then, flashback as an introduction to the story. There is a flashback in history. How did they end up in Egypt? What happened to them? So it begins by saying, at first our fathers were idolaters. And now, God has brought us close to serve Him. And they bring Psukim to point out this whole relationship, that there was an Avram, and there was a Yitzchak, and there was a Yaakov, and that Esav went off to Har Seir, the Yaakov who born of Yordu, Mitzrayim, Yaakov and his sons went down to Egypt. Now wait a minute. We also have to know that this whole Egypt experience, remember, the mitzvah is going to be to describe the Egypt experience, but we're still leading up to it. And you have to know in advance that what happens at the end was all part of God's promise to His people. He fulfills His promises. That's the yesod of the whole Haggadah. God fulfills His promises. And in a number of the shiurim that we said during the course of the last few weeks, we were showing in the Nevi'im how we happen to be living in precisely that period of history in which we see before our very eyes God fulfilling His prophecies. And then we say, Baruch Shom HaFachatol Yisrael, blessed is God who keeps His promises to Israel. Baruch Hu, Shakobi Baruch Hu, Kishin HaZakeitz, God had figured out when the right time for us to go out of Egypt is. Shenaba, because and the flashback takes us to the conversation between God and Avraham Avinu, the covenant between the pieces, where he says, your children are going to be enslaved to another people, and I'm going to take them out. They're going to go out with great wealth. And years ago we talked about that. One should never be left with the impression as though the ultimate, the great benefit from all the suffering is we went out of Egypt, you understand, with our pockets full of money. God forbid, now that's a bad reading. The Rechush Gadol, the great wealth that we went out of Mitzrayim with. The Jewish personality was forged and formed in Egypt. We learned compassion. We learned how to feel. We learned how to respect and revere freedom. We learned to relate to fellow human beings, understand? They don't like us for that.
No.
They don't like us. That's why they love to accuse us. We go after killing civilians. We go for civilians. No. We like to kill civilians. Because if they can talk themselves into that, you understand, then it removes the great burden of guilt. We're not the only ones that killed innocent civilians. The dirty Jews are doing it all the time. So it finally took, you understand, that Tzadik Goldstone Rosh Chodesh Ba'alamya finally said, no. I get a feeling it's a shtick like the Pope, that the Jews of our time are not guilty of the death of Jesus. We didn't intentionally kill civilians. All right, okay. Oh, shit, it's unbelievable. All right. People do stupid things. You know, people do stupid things. And here you can learn the awesome power of a word of Lashon Hara. Never be able to retract that. All of the pain and the suffering that will cause. No way. He can run around the world from one country to the next. I made a mistake. Garbage. Let me say a bit where I'm. The next part of we're coming to the end of the first third of the Haggadah. V'hishondal, that promise that God made to Avram, that his seed will be God's people, and that means they will be an eternal people. V'hisha ondol avuseinu v'lonu, that stood us in good stead, our fathers and us. Shelo echad b'lvad, it was not one alone who stood up to destroy us. Ela shebechol dor v'dor ondom aleinu l'chaloseinu, every generation that rise up against us to destroy us, v'akodesh baruch hu matzileinu miyodam, and God saves us from their hands. End of all of the introductions that are necessary in order that we can begin the mitzvah of Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim and know exactly what we're doing. Right after this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodam, it begins, say Lamav, let's go and learn. We're going to learn a parasha in Torah. We're going to learn Parshas Bikurim in Kitavo in Devarim. Say Lamav, Ma Bikesh Lav Nor Ami Lasu. Do you see? I just wanted to give you the beauty of the structure. There's an inner structure in this whole Haggadah. And by the way, make no mistake. You're learning over here how to teach. You're learning over here how to speak, how everything has to be laid out carefully, step by step, one after another. It's a masterpiece of clarity. That's what Haggadah is. I like that. Masterpiece of clarity. I have to remember that. Remind me next year. It's a masterpiece of clarity. Everything is laid out for you step by step by step. Then from Tzeil Lamad comes the Sifur Yitziat Mitzrayim. So we're going to take, next week we'll take a section or two of the Sifur and describe that. And that ends after the Chol Dor V'Dor, Chayav Adam Midras Tzatz Mekil Yotzim Mitzrayim. That's the second third. And from there begins Lefichach, therefore, we have an obligation and a responsibility to thank and praise and express our gratitude to God for all that He did to us and for all everything that He's done to us throughout all of history. I didn't plan it this way, but you got it. I think it may help you on the night of Pesach to see the three sections. The introductory section that describes the mitzvah of Sifur Yetzias Mitzrayim, how important it is, and how it should be carried out, how it should be done. And then we have the story, Tzeil Lamad, and then the expression of gratitude. No, I liked it. This was not bad. I didn't plan it. I made it up.